Thank you for tuning in to another episode on Left Ghana Podcast. This podcast has been designed to inspire, to motivate, to encourage and celebrate women in Ghana, in Africa and across the globe. With us today is a special and a wonderful guest, Dr. Khadija Owusu. She's an award-winning UK doctor, a social entrepreneur, international and TEDx speaker. She's the founder of Akaya and Melanin Medex. As a change agent, she tackles issues on equity, diversity, and inclusion, providing a voice for Black and ethnic minority health workers. Today, we'll be hearing about her journey, her work with female empowerment, global health, and impacting the lives of thousands of girls across Ghana with her nonprofit organization, Akaya. Dr. Khadija, you are so welcome to this podcast. I really appreciate that you made time to join me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I must say you are one very decorated lady I've ever met. Yeah, given all your experiences, your awards, the platforms, the stages, wherever you had to be, I mean, you are amazing. And I know there are many, many girls, ladies out there who admire you, who want to be like you, who you inspire a lot, but maybe probably have never gotten the chance to know what your story has been like. And that's why I'm excited about today, that we get to learn what your journey has been like, the challenges you had to go through, and how you overcame them. For everyone, including myself, who admire you so much, I must say I'm really, really honored to have you today. Like I was saying, most of us maybe don't know your story, so I just wanted to know, how has it been like when growing up? Did you have any challenges? How did you overcome them? How was life as a young African in the UK growing up?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I was born and raised in the UK.
Okay.
To majority, I would say, a single parent household. And from a lower socioeconomic background. And so I guess those are a few challenges in itself, where you are in a household where you mainly have one parent, and then also being in an area or growing up in a lower socioeconomic household, and then being a Black female on top of that.
Yeah.
A few challenges that will present along its way growing up. However, I think for me, I had to really, I guess, what was instilled, especially by my mom, is the mindset of, okay, regardless of your current circumstances, it's only temporary. And it might be the case whereby you've not seen anybody overcome them to give you that encouragement, but you can be that person to take that first step and let others see that in you. So that has definitely been my mindset in, you know, progressing through school and wanting to become a doctor. Aside that, inspiration for medicine, some inspiration came from having a younger brother that has sickle cell anemia. So that, you know, gave us early hospital medical exposure because of him. And that really, you know, made me think, well, this is the impact that they're having on somebody's life and their family. I want to have that same for others. So that really inspired my journey to medicine, aside really enjoying science and maths at school. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, was there? I mean, that's exciting. Like you said, your mom said you can be the first person to take that step, and I'm glad that you did not let your race or anything stop you, and you pursued whatever you had set your mind to pursue. I'm really impressed. And just to know, was there someone or something in particular that inspired you? I know you mentioned your brother's situation inspired you to pursue medicine. Was there something that you were looking up to, or someone that you were looking up to?
Usually when I'm asked this question, I will probably refer to two people. So number one, my mom, which I've already mentioned. I think discipline and determination. It's definitely something that has not been instilled in me. Additionally, I would say it's very important to have somebody you look up to within your close circle that you can, I guess, reach out to, see, touch, feel. But also, if you have somebody outside of that circle who maybe you don't necessarily interact with, that you, a key figure that you potentially look up to, that is really good. But for me, I would say, or I've always said, it's Michelle Obama. I've been able to interact with her. But Michelle Obama has definitely been a key inspiration growing up. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Those are two amazing women, I must say. I was also brought up by a single mother, and it's sometimes you know how it is, right? And but this woman, my mother, your mother, who taught her determination to get to wherever, and Michelle Obama, I mean, no wonder you got to meet her. I mean, we'll come to that. You have to share that experience on this podcast. Now let's talk about your education. I think you had mentioned that your brother's tuition inspired you to pursue medicine. So was that it? Like, was that the main reason, or before that you had other hopes, you wanted to do something else, or just growing up you wanted to study medicine to help others? And how was it like being in the medical school, the journey to medical school? I know it's so difficult across the globe getting into med school or taking any STEM course, given that you are a female. I mean, sometimes any STEM course kind of scares some females away. So what was it like being in med school? What was the journey to get into med school and all that?
Yeah. So I would say, yes, he was a main inspiration, but also I have a natural love. And was really good at science and maths in school. So it pairing those two together, it just made sense. I got into St. George's Medical School in the UK. Which is in London, and I spent 6 years in a medical school. Long, but to be honest, I look back and I think that went by very quickly. So
6 years is a lot. I don't like school like that.
Exactly. So it went by quite quickly. I will say I had a very good time whilst at university. Then graduated in 2021, so almost exactly 2 years now. So medical school, as you mentioned, anywhere, it's very, very tough and competitive. In the UK, there are, I want to say, 20-something medical schools. And the competition ratio is very high. And usually what statistics have said is if you go to a private school, you're more likely to get in. But also, if you look beyond education, individuals who come from a wealthier background, who maybe have a doctor in the family, you're more likely, because they'll give you the pointers and information. You get the opportunity of work experience, which you can talk about to boost your application. Now, in my case, because I knew early on medicine was what I wanted to do, I had the notion back then that staying in my particular environment might not help me reach there. So I was encouraged to apply for a private sixth form. Even then I was thinking, like, what is the point? We can't afford it anyway. A scholarship was mentioned. Even though it was 50%, I still applied and they gave it to me. However, when they called my mom to be like, yeah, we want to offer 50%, we had to decline because...
In fact, I think those schools, expensive. Even they give you 90%, the 10% is a lot.
Really expensive, so we had to politely decline. And then I think a week later, they called to say, no, we really, really want her, so we'll give her 100% scholarship. And I think I was the first student for them to give me that science and maths scholarship to go to.
Impressive, impressive.
Yes. So I spent 2 years there, and that really showed me the difference in the education that we get. You go from 30 in one classroom to like 7 or 8, and you have the teacher more attention. Extra classes. We have medical school interview practice, exam practice, everything. And then it makes you understand, well, okay, this is why things are the way they are.
Exactly.
But then it's like, well, there are so many other young, capable kids from ethnic minority backgrounds, black people, who are so gifted in their knowledge as well. And they're missing out on this because maybe they tell themselves, it's not for me because it's private. I'm not going to bother trying my luck. So,
Moving on to some of your experiences. I know, like I said from the beginning, you've been on wonderful platform, TEDx, everywhere. And I want to highlight on one of them. I mean, like you said, she's your mentor. It's not every time that people get the opportunity to see their mentor. Sometimes you're a little, or you, as you grow up in life, there are people you want to be like, you admire, right? But you never get the opportunity to ever even talk to them in real life, right? And you having to meet her in person, I'm sure it was like a mind-blowing experience. I just want to know, I know you got an invitation to visit the White House. Mm-hmm. How was the experience like? And did it contribute to any change in mindset? Did it make you see life in a different perspective? Or what was the effect generally on you?
Yeah. So my first interaction was at a very young age. I think I was probably 11 or 12. I just started secondary school, and that's when they were first elected, and they were visiting the UK, and she wanted to come to a girls' school. Mm. Why she picked my school, I don't know, because it wasn't special. It's not as special. Well, now it is, but it wasn't back then. So she came. I was a part of the choir then. We performed for her. And even then, we were told a special guest is coming.
Okay.
And we think maybe, you know, it's one local superstar, be that. So, but lo and behold, Michelle Obama walks across the stage.
Oh my!
There was so much security, so much media. I was like, who is coming to this school? But it was her, and she gave an amazing speech. And I remember, I think it was BBC. They must have been focusing on some of the girls in relation to some of their shots, and they zoomed in on my face. And you could just see my face looking at her in awe. And I'm just like, all this English she's saying, was I even able to understand that? But anyways, 4 years later, I think I was about maybe 15, that's when we were invited to the White House. About 10.
How did you get that invitation?
So the school did a mini writing competition. From what I remember, you had to write about who inspired you. I can't remember the other question. And 10 girls were selected. I happened to be one of them.
Interesting.
And we went to DC for about 5 days. We were visiting the White House a few times during that week. We met her, had discussions with her on some of the occasions. We also met some really incredible, powerful women in US political scene. The last day we managed to greet Barack Obama as well. But overall, that trip was definitely very pivotal as well. And I think just in general, my interactions with her have been, well, at that young age anyway, I think at the time I wasn't able to fully understand, but now I know that it really had an imprint, let's say, in the trajectory and just my mindset. Because she really honed in on, yes, you're female, yes, you may come from X, Y, Z, but that doesn't stop you from doing anything.
Exactly.
And if you fail along the way, you have to get back up and learn. It's an opportunity to just go ahead and try again. So, yeah, since then, she was supposed to come back, but I think in 2021, we just did a virtual interview on her book.
Yeah, I think I watched that interview. It was fantastic. Yeah, I did.
And then I think it was just before I went to Ghana, she sent a letter, which was really nice as well.
Yeah, impressive. I mean, I like that you said, looking back, it really left an imprint, and it's something that you're driving at. Yes, I'm a female. Yes, I may be in the minority, but it shouldn't stop me from pursuing my dream. And I'm happy that you took something out of the experience. Maybe some people will be like, oh my God, I'm in the White House. And it's like, it's just, your mind is filled with all the, oh my God, is it me? Is it happening? Am I dreaming kind of thing? But I'm very happy to hear that you picked something, and it's something that you are thriving with in life. Impressive. Let's talk about your impact projects. I mean, you are super amazing. For me, anytime I see anyone giving back or doing something to empower others, it blows my mind. And given that you never even grew up in Ghana, what inspired you to start Akaya? Let's start with Akaya. I'm really impressed. I see all the programs. I know a conference is even coming up. I know people are interning. What inspired Akaya? You never lived in Ghana, so why go back to Ghana to do anything?
Yes. So this is one thing I always commend my mom on, is growing up, you know, even since birth, no English in the house.
I have to instill that in my house as well. My son would say, Etosan.
She was very adamant, you must only speak to you at home. Okay. If you want to speak English, you do that in school. On top of that, I think when we got to primary school, every 2 years, the summer holidays, we are in Ghana.
Nice.
Wow. Family is from Kumasi, so we're in Ghana, Kumasi, with my uncles, with my grandma. And so home, Ghana being a sense of home, has always been there from a young age. Then during medical school, I had to take a break because I think, even after I finished secondary school, she was like, listen, if anybody wants to go to Ghana, go by yourself. I cannot pay for anybody. It's your responsibility. So I had a long break of not going back, and it was so heartbreaking. Until final year of medical school, I had a very big summer break before starting as a doctor, and I said, this is my chance.
This is your chance,
You know, by then, Melanin Medics, I think we were 3 or 4 years old, and I've built some experience in the nonprofit sector.
Okay.
And with me being so passionate about Ghana, I used my time to try something. So 2021, that's May, June period, I went back. I did some experience in a hospital, but also that was the time where we did our first Like Her project session. Went to a school, delivered a workshop on education and sort of giving the girls the voice to speak about what are the barriers, how can we help in their access to education, also on menstrual hygiene, general personal hygiene, and confidence public speaking skills. It went very, very well. We donated items to also minimize the barriers, like sanitary pads, educational supplies, stationery. And it went very, very well. And that first trip, I did it out of my own pocket because I thought, okay, this is, I'm just trying. So we did about 100 and just over 100 girls. I came back, started working as a doctor, and then I thought, okay, I really want to go back to Ghana. Obviously, aside doing this charity work, generally, the peace of mind I have when I'm in Ghana is just different.
Yeah, home is home.
So I also needed a break. But I thought, if we're going to go back, we have to go back bigger and better. I have to fundraise for this. So I managed to raise about £1,000. We did the same session, 300 girls across I think it was even more than 300 girls. One school decided to just, usually we ask for 100 girls, but one school decided to give us all the girls. I was like, oh my gosh, we didn't have enough like supplies. But the good thing about the sessions is the information given to the girls, the last thing, you have it in mind for life. And so that is the most important part. So that went really well. Okay. And then after that trip, that was when I said, okay, we know this is good. We have to register. We have to decide what is the long term, what is the vision.
That's
when Akaya was born. And those 6 to 8 months was a lot of background, lockdown work, paperwork, and just thinking about the future and stuff. And then we came to launch this March in Ghana at the British Council in Accra, which was an amazing, amazing event. Had a lot of support, phenomenal speakers that day, and we also managed to do some more Like Her sessions as well. I think we did about 500 girls that time. And since then, it's been really, really great. We are about to launch our internship program. Mm. We announced our conference. We have some more projects coming up too, mm-hmm. especially in December. So yeah, it's been very, very busy at Akaya.
Yeah.
A lot of great support. We actually just closed our £10,000 fundraiser.
Wow, impressive. Yeah,
so we raised £5,000 and we're being matched by Plantmate. So they're a natural hair company that are doing amazingly well worldwide. Mm. And they're giving us £5,000 as well to match it to make it hair. So we thank all the supporters, all the donations, anybody that shares content. Honestly, the support has been amazing.
Wow. That's impressive. Like I said, you are just amazing. And I'm so excited that even as you were trying to figure it out, you decided to take it to the next level. And anyone listening to us, follow Akaya on all social media pages, LinkedIn, everywhere, and support, because impacting people's lives, you cannot trade it for anything. Support them, support their programs, be part of it, like their pages, share for the whole world to know about Akaya. Before we end, Melanie Medics, I just want to touch on it. I know you're a director there. What inspired you to be part of Melanie Medics, and what is it set out to do?
Yeah. So you remember I mentioned that private school experience really opened my eyes to what are we missing out on.
Okay.
And I started medical school, got to halfway, and I had a friend, her name is Dr. Alameda Idada.
Okay.
And also a few other of the now directors as well. We all went to different medical schools. Okay. However, at the time we realized, why can you only count the number of black people in on your fingers? That shouldn't be the case. We need more representation. So that's how Melanie Medics came about.
Okay.
And essentially we are working to diversify medicine in the UK. We widen aspirations, which is very, very key, especially for the young students. Who come from the same background as myself.
Mm.
In those environments, you immediately shut your mind to some particular careers or opportunities because you think it's not for you or you can't.
Yeah.
Just us showing up in your school saying that we are black medical students, we are black doctors, and you think, if they can do it, I can do it.
That's
our job done. And also we aid career progression because the journey to get into medical school you are in medical school, it's also tough. When you graduate, it's also tough. And so we do a lot of work along that whole timeline or process, working with key organizations, the General Medical Council that looks after the UK doctors' licenses, the British Medical Association, who is our main union body for doctors in the UK. And we work a lot on the policy issues relating to black doctors, as well as events, networking, mentorship programs, application support services, a whole lot.
Wow, this is amazing. Always identifying something, taking the step. Impressive. I'm amazed. Thank you for sharing everything. You are not leaving. Before you leave, any thoughts, any message to any girl out there, people who think STEM courses are difficult, it's not for me, like you said, I can't get there, I don't have money, I don't do this, I can't do it, it's too difficult. What message do you have for any girl who is afraid of pursuing any STEM course? Maybe the person has the passion, but it's not for me, I can't do it. And then any lady out there who wants to give up in life generally, what message do you have for them?
I think generally my message I always, always say is to keep going, no matter how old you are, definitely to keep going. Each day will get better. But in keeping going and ensuring that you try your best to achieve what you want to achieve, also remember that we are human. Life is not perfect.
Okay.
And we must acknowledge that it's okay not to be okay. And so when you have days where you are down and maybe you want to cry, please allow yourself to do so. If you want to take some time out away from the work, that's absolutely fine, but please not beat yourself up because maybe you've missed time. Definitely not. You have an opportunity the next day to go harder than before.
Yeah.
So that is very key. Another thing is to don't be afraid to put yourself out there. A lot of the things I've learned, or a lot of the places that I've been able to go to, stages to stand on, people I've met, is simply me just reaching out. I don't know where I got the confidence from. I always say it's God. But just to reach out and say, your name is XYZ, you're interested in so-and-so. And you want to get advice or have a quick 10-minute chat,
something
like that, please definitely do so. LinkedIn is the best platform to reach out to people.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't respond or says no, that's absolutely okay. Just know that that person is not for you.
Yeah, that's true.
But also understand that sometimes it's very, we can be very busy. Even myself, I don't if anybody has reached out to me, I will eventually respond.
Amazing. Keep going. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. It's impressive. Thank you so much, Dr. Khadija. I really, really appreciate it. Like, we met on LinkedIn, right? And we are here talking. Yay. So don't be afraid to reach out to anyone you want to talk to help you get the better of yourself. Thank you. I'm so excited that you got to talk to us. I've learned a lot myself, and I'm sure anyone listening to us right now has learned a lot. I really appreciate your time. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you had an amazing time. Until we meet on next episode, it's bye for now. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel.